on Wednesday, one of the things that ended up coming up in our discussion was that it's a horrible feeling when you you know the right thing to do, and then you end up not doing it, or you know that you need to be prepared for something, but then you don't get prepared, and then the day happens to you, the situation happens, and you're not ready for it. I was just thinking, you know, how lots of times words are so important, and the truth. And you have all the kids up here, and they're going to hear thousands and thousands and thousands of words over the next numbers of months in school. They're going to be, you know, we hear words all the time, you know, and we can really dial out lots of times. And it's a shame if all of the things that are said here amongst believers, things that pertain to this book of truth, and it falls past our ears, you know. And then when we need the very things that people have said and have encouraged us with, it isn't there. It's not in us. It hasn't been percolating inside of us. That's a sad situation, isn't it? So I just encourage us hopefully through the words that have been spoken so far, through the songs, that you're getting something. You know, you're getting something, because I'll tell you, the things that roll through your head, you get influenced by those words, by your thoughts. And if they're good thoughts, if they're thoughts that are based in the Word of Christ, you got some good things happening up here, you know. But if that isn't what it's about, if it's other words, if it's other feelings, then goodness gracious, where does that usually lead you? Right? You understand what I'm saying? So, today, I want you to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Now, I think Stephen will on the left, right? Yeah. Steve and his son Dan are going to be preaching next Sunday. And he had asked me at some point in time to just ask all of you to think about what it means to do the will of God, because that's what their message is on next week. So you know how Steve is, being a teacher. You have a homework assignment from now until next Sunday. And that homework assignment is to consider that. So he asked me to do that. He asked me to mention it. And I said, well, that's really kind of funny, because the lead scripture today is about the will of God. And so if you turn to Matthew chapter 6, this is about the Lord's Prayer. Right? It's in the Lord's Prayer that we're going to read this. We've read this before, and it's at the heart of the whole thing about the kingdom, which we've been talking about now for a while. And I want to talk about some other part of the kingdom of God, and it's going to start out with us listening to these words. All right? So this is Matthew chapter 6, and it's verse, let's just start up in 9, but it's verse 10 that I'm going to stop at. After this manner, therefore, you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and that was where we did some emphasis over the last few weeks. And then the next one is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I want to just stop there and talk about that for a minute. So how, if we're to pray that God's will be done here on this earth, as it is in heaven, well, how is it in heaven? How is his will done in heaven? Think about that for a minute, and then I want you to give me some answers. How is his will done in heaven? How does that get accomplished? Yeah, what's going on? There's no sin there. Because his will is that no one sin, right? Would you say that that's right? Because he's holy, and he wants us to be holy like he is holy. That's very clear in the scripture, isn't it? Okay. All right, so that's one aspect. Yeah?
I would say when he tells the angels to do something, they do it. They don't question.
Yeah, isn't that right?
That's true.
In heaven, when God says he wants something to get done, there's not an argument. Is there? It gets done. In heaven, in the place where God is, there is not any opposing will. It's God's will. And the angels that are in heaven with the Lord, they know that they can trust what God says for them to do. And so, they do it, don't they?
Immediately.
They get out and they get right to whatever it is that God's saying. And the scripture here is saying that we should be praying that the way God's will is done in heaven should be done here in the earth. Now that seems, wow, that's a big job for this place. Because this place has sin in it. This place has a multitude of other wills involved in what's going to happen. Kristen, do you want to say something?
Well, Jesus is a reflection of what went on in heaven because there's no time. So in this blessing of this prayer, Jesus is saying something here that we need to focus on. When God the Father asked Jesus to come to earth and shed his blood, the response from Jesus was one of love. And it's a reflection on us that when we profess that thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, that when God's will is being done, we do it because why? Because we really love him.
Yes.
When our parents correct us, we may have a little resistance. But on average, a child does it, why? Because he loves and respects his father. So when Jesus was telling us in this prayer, it was a reflection of what goes on in heaven. Jesus left heaven because he loved his father, and he wanted to do his father's will.
Yeah, that's why he came, right? To do the will of the Father. To destroy the works of the devil and to do the will of the Father. That's why the Lord came. And so what was going on and what goes on in heaven? The will of God. Now, I've said this before. You realize that not everything that happens in this life is the will of God. On this earth, and this is why Jesus prays, it says this is the way we have to think and have an attitude of prayer, is that we're looking to go in the opposite direction than the direction that's in this world, which is to do your own will, to do, and ultimately, the will of Satan, right? Right? Okay? So, we're asked to pray to push against that because we want the will of God and we want it to happen here in this earth like it is in heaven. And that creates some conflict, doesn't it? Now, and Chris was talking about the love of God, and it's an expression of the love of God. You know, up in if you look up in verse 14, the Lord goes on to talk about this prayer. He's elaborating on the Lord's Prayer, starting up in verse 14. Most people read the Lord's Prayer from 9 through 13, and that, because that's how he teaches us to pray. And then he goes, in verse 14, it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." He's going back now and talking about, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He's going back and now explaining a little bit more, giving a little more meat to what he's already outlined in verses 9 through 13. And he goes on and does that for other things that he says in that very short prayer, right? So this is what's going on here. And he says in the next verse, "If you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours." Now that's got to get everybody. That makes all of us squirm, because it's very easy for us to hold things against people, right? And we need to learn how to be forgiving. That's part of love, isn't it? That's part of love. And it's really a tough thing. I found out this weekend that there was someone who really hurt our daughter Libby very, very badly a few years ago. And she asked me, the next time I see this person, to say hi from her. And I thought she was kidding, because I thought she probably was still holding something against this person. And she went, "Dad, what? Why'd you laugh? I mean it." Well, boy, I just wanted to crawl over into a corner, because here I had this attitude, well, you have a right to not forgive that person. And she's already gotten past that, and it didn't happen to me, but it happened to someone I love, and boy, did I have a hard time. And I haven't let go of that as much as my daughter has, and it was against her. Isn't that something? You know, and I thought, wow, she's much further down the kingdom, into the kingdom than I am in that regard anyway. And this is really an important thing for us, right? If we're going to do the will of the Father, then the love of God has to come forth. And one of the things about love is that you will forgive because you've been forgiven. Right? We have been forgiven our trespasses. And God, and so we've come to God. And now God says, "Hey, look, if you're not going to forgive, well, then I'm not going to forgive your trespasses." Ooh, that's a tough, tough statement, isn't it? But this is what is required of us who are going to walk in the kingdom of God, who are going to walk being led by the will of the Father. One of the things about the will of God is that we learn how to forgive, right? We have to learn how to forgive people. Now, that doesn't mean that we keep submitting to wrong things that they're doing. I'm not saying that, but we can learn how to forgive. That's important, don't you think? Forgiveness, you can't throw wisdom out. You don't keep going back to somebody that's treating you badly. You can forgive them because they're in this world and they're caught up in this world and they're selfish and they might have all these things. You can forgive them, but stay away from them. That's not, that, you, that doesn't mean you now have to stay, you know, be in, stay in something that you shouldn't be in. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, yes?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. All right. So I just want to make sure that I'm clear about that with you. All right, so I want to... Let me say something here. What?
I was just going to say, forgiving someone doesn't mean just saying what they did
was right. Yeah, it's not condoning it, but you can forgive, and that's an important thing. Yes.
I want to say just a quick story. My cousin out in Ohio, his daughter, a girl, when she had her daughter with her in the school shopping, they came home. This was happening in Indiana.
Yeah.
Fort Wayne area, she was hit by a drunk driver and she was killed. The little girl wasn't killed, but the mother was, and Jack, my dad, he went to the trial and publicly stood up in front of everybody and said to the man, "I forgive you. My most precious heart wants you to know my Jesus."
That's
such a picture.
Yeah, that is. That's a perfect example of what we're just talking about here. I wanted to say, I wrote this down when Sylvia was praying about seeing the kids wandering the streets and, you know, the brokenness. I was coming back from Bible study on Wednesday night, dropped everybody that was in the car off. Going down to Berlin, and there were these two young girls. I mean, it's 9 o'clock at night, and they're walking down the road, and I'm thinking, wow, they're out on a dark street. Why aren't they home? You know, who's taking care of them? Is there anybody that cares? And I thought about just how awful it is for a lot of people and how blessed and wonderful it is for us. Right? How great it is that we have a word that can lead us, you know, it's a lamp to our feet. It's not just bumping through life and haphazardly making decisions. We have a light that helps us to choose the right way to go. You know, we have a father, a spiritual father, and we have physical fathers and mothers who will correct us when we need correction, so that we don't go in that dark area over somewhere else. How fortunate we are, don't you think? We're so fortunate. And since Steve is going to be preaching on the will of God next week, and he wants you to think about it, I don't want to take anything away from that. So I told him, I said, geez, I'm going to have to cut my message short. So Joe was very happy about that. So, I just want to talk about this. I think I'm going to probably focus on this one aspect. There's more than one will going on here on earth. There's going to come a time when the Lord's will is going to rule in this world as it is in heaven now. And there's going to that's a future time, and it's something that it's great to know that it's going to happen. We can look forward to that. And some people, I think I start talking about this. So let me get my notes on this. Is it the Lord's will to be in rebellion against Jesus? You think that's His will? You think it's His will for us to sin?
No.
Is it Is it his will that Satan control the nations of the world?
No.
No, no, right? Is it God's will? Here's a crucial question here. Is it God's will that there be a one world government at the end of the age? Is it God's will? See, you're not quite sure about that. I'm going to tell you that the end time government of the Antichrist is a sinful, ungodly government. It's going to be tyrannical. It's going to be oppressive. Is that what God wills?
No.
No. God is not into that kind of government. Do you know that? Now, I think some Christians think because God tells us that this is what's going to happen, that it's his will. No, it's not his will. God doesn't support that kind of government coming into existence. God is going to judge that kind of government because he knows it is going to come into existence. So, should we then, to do God's will, should we then be supportive of a one world government? Do you think we should be?
No.
No.
No, we shouldn't. Should we? Should we then, there's a little political thing here, should we then support candidates in this country who are looking to go in that direction? Huh?
No.
Okay, that's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. Because you and I are responsible for promoting either God's will, that's what we should be supporting, isn't it? Or we're supporting something else if we're not supporting his will. You're either serving the Lord or you're serving somebody else. Is that right? So you think about that when it's time to vote. You think about it. You better know enough about the candidates so that you can make a reasoned vote. We're fortunate to be able to do that in this country. You better think about that.
We're gonna write your name in.
No, I don't want you to.
Maybe that's God's will.
I can already tell you it's not. No. Okay.
I think that's a really good point that you just said. And Christians have to know God's will.
Yes.
To know his will is not for one world government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And see, I think people get messed up thinking, well, this is what God's plan because this is what's going to happen. So it's God's will that it happened. No, it's not God's will. There's lots of things in this world that are not the will of God. I already went through a few of them and you already responded. No, that's not the will of God. Because God allows for love, which means free choice. And so he gives people in this world free choice. And because we have free choice, we either can choose him or not. And the problem with our world is that there's a lot of people who don't choose his will, who don't know God, who don't want to know God, and want to go in their own will, right? And so this is the condition that we find ourselves in, but we are supposed to be praying that the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we better be praying that we have the right sense to vote for people that are going in at least more in his direction. Because there isn't a candidate alive that is so totally just going right into God's direction at this point.
No.
Yes, sir.
Never get voted.
So you got, you know, you have to, you have to.
The world is against it.
Yeah, the world is against it. It's not, you know.
The people that are more Christ-like are the first ones that, that people start rejecting because they don't want it.
No, because they don't want it.
The world doesn't want that.
No. It's going in a different direction. And so, but God requires us to pray, and therefore there must be some action that's involved. Right? There has to be some kind of action that you take. Well, in our case, in America, we can at least vote. So that's a good step. The other thing is that no matter where you are, knowing God's will and doing it is important for you as an individual, isn't it? If we're to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then I guess we have a responsibility to do the will of God when we know it. Is that right? And we can't just claim ignorance that we don't know what it is. We have a responsibility to find out. You know what it says there in Ephesians? Let me just read it real fast. Wasn't planning on going further. It says here, therefore, awake you that sleep and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. This is Ephesians 5:14. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We have a responsibility to know these things. That happens through prayer. When you pray, when I pray to God, lots of times I have to be asking Him, well, I'm not sure what Your will is in this, Lord. Help me to understand Your will. I'm praying to know the will of God. That's what you and I have to do that. We usually have to pray to know it, don't we? In particular kinds of situations, we have to know. And God, if we ask for something, God's going to give it to us. But we have to be awake to the fact that this is what we got to do. Right? It's important for us. Evil is going to overwhelm us ahead of time if we're not vigilant and are pressing against the evil. Because evil, all evil, is against the will of God. That's what evil is. It's the ungodly getting their way. Isn't it? So we got to think about that.
If you pray that, then you've got to be willing to do it as well. And most of the time, it's very uncomfortable to do the will of God because the outside world says you're a Fruit Loop if you do that. So, really,
yeah.
It's,
oh, yeah.
So even though you may have, you pray for to hear the will of God, you better continue the prayer and say, when that time comes, then help me to be willing to do Your will.
Yeah.
Because if you do the will and you're uncomfortable with it, He's okay if you're uncomfortable with that, you know? As long as you're obedient. But the outside world says you need to not to do that. And even in Christian settings that happens, you know, like the other night with Unity Worship, to come up and say something in the middle of the Unity Worship is very uncomfortable. It puts you in a weird position. You don't want to do it. But if you're really being obedient to God and you're saying, you know, I want to do Your will, and He says do this, then you've got to be able to do that.
Then you should go and do it. Exactly. Yes, ma'am.
One of the prime examples of this that always sticks out in my mind is when Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before His crucifixion. He says, Father, if if you can, let this cup pass from me. And yes. If not, God, your will be done.
Your will be done.
And so if Jesus can come to the Father and say, I'm not okay with this, but I'm going to go through with it because right. It's what you want. I mean, that's peace to me because right. It says, you can tell me everything you want to tell me. That's fine.
yeah, it's a process,
that's
isn't
definitely
it?
Definitely uncomfortable.
Yes, it's a process. And it really comes down to your heart. You know, I'm willing to do it, God. I don't want to do it. I don't want to have to face this particular situation, but I'm going to do it because you've asked me to. You know, you work through that kind of thing. So, but this is what the world needs, is the will of God to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. This is what's needed, and eventually it is going to happen. Chris, you want to say something?
Malcolm, I want to say this as clear as I can. In Isaiah 64, thank you very much. It talks about our righteousness is as filthy rags.
Yeah.
Following that all through to what you're saying, what is one of the most offensive things that all humans have? And that's why Jesus came, and that's why what you're talking about today is so applicable. Self-righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
That is rejected by God.
Yeah.
And having said that, that is very offensive, and that is because that's human nature to be self-righteous.
Yeah.
And when you are self-righteous, you are not pursuing the will of God. So all this ties together,
yes,
and
yes.
It's very, very detrimental to our welfare, because whether it's Christians or non-Christians, the human trait, the DNA in a human person is being righteous,
mm-hmm.
righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And they reject anything else. They reject truth. They reject the word.
Yes.
And in that, they're rejecting the reason that Jesus came. Because we were not righteous. We only became righteous in Christ. We're only righteous in Him, in Christ. I want to tie another thing together with this. Many people think that if they're not doing God's will, it's because it's a bad thing. I'm a bad person. And I'm contrary to the will of God. You know something? I'll go back 45 years. I thought I knew it all. I thought I had it together. So I never bothered to check with God. This is something that came up this week in discussion. Because that's the flaw.
Yeah.
We think we're okay. And those decisions we make, we think, well, this doesn't look bad. This is good. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not doing anything evil. I'm going to finish up with this one statement of wisdom. She's going to close her ears on this. My father-in-law told me 46 years ago, that the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah.
The human mind, the human nature says, this looks good. This will work. We're going to go the right way here. And the problem is, that thinking is not pursuing the will of God.
No, it's not.
But you're coloring it as a good thing. And it may not be, it probably won't be the will of God because you thought it up. That's all I'm going to say. And then when it goes down the drain and down the toilet, then everybody's got their hands up and they give up on God. Well,
yeah.
It started out because you had your
you
own
had your
thinking,
own.
This
yes.
is God's will and it's a good thing. Because
yes.
God would like this.
Yeah.
How many times do we manipulate our own mind? And there's a word for that. It's called justification for our actions.
Yes. Rationalization. Yes. Isn't this is so such an important thing. Chris has talked to me over the last couple of weeks about, you know, Malcolm, you really, he was telling me some things, and he said, you need a pen and paper, and you need to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to forget things, but I tend to forget things now, like I hadn't before. And so I just wrote this down because Chris said it, and I'm starting to write things down more. And this whole thing that he did on It's finally gotten through. This whole thing about self-rest. I'm going to get to something here that will hopefully tie what's going on. But Chris talked about self-righteousness. You see, that's not the will of God. Self-righteousness, what are you saying? Self-righteousness is not the will of God. His righteousness is the will of God, right? And this is what's going on in the world today, is this rebellion against the Lord and His anointed, against the Lord's righteousness coming through people. You know what? You know how it's manifest? I'm going to tell you, and I don't care if you believe this or not. I know that this is from the Lord. The PC stuff is a self-righteous spirit. We know how things should be, and we're going to impose it on you. That's, you look at PC ideas. And, well, let's take, for example,
yeah.
Politically correct. Okay. The whole concept of being politically correct, that there's an idea that we should be loving and tolerant of any kind of situation. Okay? So this self-righteous concept of, let's say, transgender, okay, that is now being imposed on the country to show how wonderfully tolerant and righteous we are, that we can love no matter what's going on, right? Do you think that is really the love of God? Is something that God calls sin okay? No, it's not. But in the minds of politically correct people, are you hearing this? Politically correct, that sounds righteous, but it's not. It's not the will of God. God didn't create things for it to happen that way. We know this from what we can read in the Bible. That doesn't mean that we're going out and we're going to be mean and nasty and rotten to people that have a different idea than us. Because God does not impose His law on you and me. We choose to accept it. He doesn't make us do anything. Does He?
We have no choice.
We have a choice. And as Christians, that's how we should be. We shouldn't be trying to impose our ideas of righteousness on anybody. We need, through the Holy Spirit, to bring people to Jesus and let the Holy Spirit work where it needs to. That's how we should be, right? We shouldn't be trying to create something and imposing something on other people outside of their will. But that's what they're doing. Look at it. Look at it with the mind of Christ, and you'll see, it's not the Christians who are really trying to do the imposing. It's coming from the liberal side. It's coming from the ungodly side that's trying to impose their ideas of righteousness on the rest of us. Yeah? And there needs to be soldiers who, at least in their own cells, are not going to allow that to come upon them. Yeah? And not give in to the PC stuff. Because if it's politically correct, it's not correct in the eyes of God. Because the politics and governments of this world have risen up together against the Lord and against His anointed. It's very, very clear in the Scriptures.
That's why the Antichrist is going to be so attractive.
Yes!
Because he's going to bring a form of righteousness that all these deluded people are attracted to, because it all seems right and good. And they want to be right and good, but they want to be right and good
in their own mind. That's right, in their own eyes, through their own will. You know, if any of us right here, do you believe that before you became a Christian that you were living out of this book?
No.
Well, why did you change? The Holy Spirit speaks to you. But you also read this and you go, oh, I really shouldn't be acting that way. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit checking you from doing something, but many other times you read something in here and it's not your will, it's His will. And you want to align yourself up with His will. And we end up performing what Jesus tells us in this verse in Matthew is to pray that His will be done on the earth as it is in heaven, because it's always done in heaven. And we are making steps toward allowing that to happen in our life as an individual and hopefully throughout the whole church, right? That has to happen, you know? And as those things happen, the kingdom of God gets that much closer. Because now there's a demarcation, and God says, it's now time to end this filthy age. And so that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. It is going to happen. God is going to make that happen. He is the judge. All right? Not everything that happens in this world is, that means that, well, it happened, so that must be God's will. I've said that too many times, that when something occurs in my life, I go, well, that must have been the Lord's will. Well, probably sometimes it was, but there's probably a lot of other times it wasn't. And I just succumbed to something I shouldn't have succumbed to. Right? So this is really, really an important thing. If we're going to be these people at the end of this age who are proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and moving in the power of the kingdom, then we need to be people that are truly seeking and doing the will of God. And it's a little more than what you think. And this is why Steve wants you and I to do some homework and think about this a little bit more often. So I'm not going to go any further than that. So he has something to grab a hold of you with next week. So I'm going to... I wasn't going to conclude here, but I guess I will. All right, so Matthew, you're in Matthew 6, right? Matthew 6, I'm going to conclude it with this scripture, verse 33. This is what the Lord, in this whole context of the Lord's Prayer and His kingdom, pray for His kingdom to come and pray for His will to be done. He says in verse 33, he says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness." See, that's what's important, isn't it? Because if you're seeking God's kingdom, this kingdom of His Son, the kingdom of the Messiah, that is going to tear down all of this wrong thinking and attitude and tyranny and oppression and sin and disgusting things in this world. And all of that's going to be wiped away, and that's where our heart is going toward. Then that's what we need to be seeking, isn't it? Where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. And that's why it's important for us to be very, very sure and clear in our own minds that this is what we're choosing. Right? So seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Not your own idea of righteousness, but what you find here. And what you find here is that you and I don't have the righteousness of our own through our own way of thinking. We need His way of thinking about things and His Spirit to be what guides us. And what's that drive us to? That drives us to prayer, to ask for His righteousness, not our own. For His understanding and His wisdom about how to live through this life. That's where I come to, because like Chris was saying, I used to think I was smart enough to get through life. And I'm finding out now that I'm older and wiser that I'm not as wise as I thought I was. Do you find that? I used to think I was a pretty good guy. Because I never tried to hurt anybody, so that made me a good guy. But boy, there's a lot of crap in here that God is exposing, and I'm going, oh my gosh, I'm not that nice of a person. Or at least as much as I thought I was, you know? So this is something for us to, because we are going to be, God wants to use us here at the end of the age. Well, we've got to be ready for that. You know, we're talking about O'Neill, Kathy and I are coming here, and it's going to be nice when the rapture happens, you know? But I hope I'm ready for that, you know? If he's coming to receive a bride that's spotless and pure and all of that, then I know that I have that in Christ. But I'd like to live in that too. You know? I like to live that way. Because that's what pleases him. Because I'm doing his will back then. Right? Oh God, you preach these things or you hear these things. We're accountable now. You like that? Now you and I are accountable to his word. And we're either going to run away from it or pretend we didn't hear it or, God, let me forget this because then I don't have to be clear. No. Let's ask God that, God, we want to be those people that have a heart for you, that seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, that we be those who know your will and are obedient to do it, that we have hearing ears and a soft heart for you and your kingdom. You deserve our love. You deserve us choosing you. We don't deserve anything, but God, we ask for your mercy and your grace, the courage, the seeking after of truth, so that we would not be ignorant of the enemy's devices or of the things that are happening in this world where we could be deceived. We desire to stand in truth, and that only comes in your kingdom and through your righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
How many of you have forgotten already that you have an assignment for next Sunday? I'm going to tell Steve that I told you all. Okay? So he's going to expect that.
All right. So before we get into joys and concerns, Dan had something he wanted to bring up right before then. So Dan, come up.
Song was listening to this morning, because this is going to go right along with it, about burdens, storms that we go through, and we all have them. Sometimes the storms are massive, sometimes they're not so big. But if you let Christ be there with you in that storm, then it's not a big storm anymore. We have a tendency to take a molehill and turn it into a mountain because we're doing it on our own. And when Jesus was in the boat with his disciples, it's what I was reading this morning, and when they crossed over to the other side and that storm came up, Jesus was sleeping, taking a nap. The rest of the people were up watching the storm. Their eyes were focused on the storm, not Christ. Of course, Christ had his heart and everything, which is always focused on the Father. So he was able to take a nap in the midst of that storm. And you know, we can do the same. We really can. Through the storms that God has allowed me to go through this summer alone, is what he's taught me, is to just go in the back of that boat with him and lay down and just relax. Because he is in control. And when I was reading this, they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we drowned?" And when I read that, I mean, at this particular time, I don't know how long they were with Jesus, but we say that sometimes without even realizing it. Because when we focus on the storm, that's what we're saying to Christ. Don't you even care? And his response was, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have any faith?" So that tells me, when we respond that way, it's because we don't have faith. And I'll tell you, to get through storms, you need faith. And the only way to get that faith is sometimes to go through the storm. And always keep your eye on Christ. Always keep your face in this word. Read it. But when you read it, meditate on it. Pray about it. Let God show you what he is trying to do in you and through you. Because we're all here for a purpose. And it goes back to God's will. He's willed us here. We need to fulfill that purpose. It may be to save one other soul on this planet. Maybe just one. And we need to do it. And sometimes these things we call storms are so ridiculous. And I'm guilty of one, and I'll even tell it to you. Years ago, we used to have this K-cup machine, and it doesn't hold a whole lot of water, it makes coffee. And I had to fill it up every morning. And because my wife never filled it up. And I would always fill it back up and leave it for her. The next morning, it'd be empty. And eventually that started wearing on me. Silly. Immature. Babyish. Exactly what it was. But God showed me that. And you know, as couples out there, I bet you there's some things that you guys do that are so immature, so babyish, that you need to grow up to get over it. Because it's not that big of a deal. It is not like life-threatening or anything. And as soon as we do things like that, you'll have a much better relationship with God first, and then your spouse. And I do want to go to thank Bob Peterson. I wish Steve was here, but he's not. And I want to thank Steve, because they took time out and they came and saw me and visited me and prayed with me, and I really appreciated it. It was very helpful. And then another time Bob stopped by, and unfortunately I wasn't too much company because I was right in one of my fits of growing older, in and out. But he sat there and we talked. I would fall asleep a little while, and he was just as patient, as calm as could be, and I'd wake back up and we'd talk some more. And it was nice. It's really nice when you have somebody to stop by and see you. And it's got to be really nice to go and visit people that need to be seen. And I think, I don't know how much you guys do that. I know I don't do it enough, but it taught me a good lesson, one I won't forget, and how important it is. And when they left, my wife says, "That's love." And that's what it is. Gotta step out of that comfort zone. And Reggie and Malcolm, I want to thank you guys for calling and checking on me too. And I do have a little concern. I do need some prayer. I found out on Friday that I got some issues with my prostate, which I won't go into great details about. Unfortunately, I have to go in for surgery as quickly as possible. I will be held up, I guess, 4 to 6 weeks, depending on how well I can recover. So I do ask for prayers for that. But I ask that you pray in a way that you thank God, okay? Thank Him for giving me peace. Thank Him for giving me joy through this. Thank you. Thank Him for healing me. Me, I think the biggest part is going to be the recovery. To sit still. That I need a lot of prayer for. Because I have a hard time sitting still. It's not my natural thing to hang out and do nothing. I mean, I can't even lift 10 pounds, they tell me. And that's going to be tough. So if you guys can pray to, for me in that area to be obedient to God and just do what I'm supposed to do, I really would appreciate it. And as far as your storms, make sure. Take a nap in the back of the boat, Christ. Okay?
Hang on, Dan. Well, look at what Joe was just saying, that we should be praying for you, and I agree. I think we should be praying for you right now. We'll do that. Joker and anybody else that feels like they should be praying for you.
Thank you.